My name is Xiao Lei Ren, and I'm an assistant professor of Florida International University. And today I'm going to talk about some of my recent research. The title of my talk is Online Resource Management for Data Center with Energy Capping. And this is joint work with my student, Hassan Mohammed. All right, so as you can see from the title of my talk, it's all about data center. And this picture shows Facebook's data center in Oregon. And it's a typical massive data center with a lot of resource consumption. And in particular, this type of data center consume a tremendous amount of energy. As we all know, the energy consumption is one of the primary concerns for data center operators. And as the number of data centers is continuously growing, the electricity consumption as well as the carbon emission is also increasing as well. So this created a problem of sustainability. So what we can do about this? Before answering this question, let me share with you some of the old news. So first, in 2005, the European Union introduced the carbon emission caps to large energy consumers, of course, including data centers. And in particular, in these type of schemes, the government imposes a certain cap on your energy consumption and a carbon emission. If your carbon emission goes beyond the cap, you have to pay additional taxes or even penalties from the government for the government. And later, in 2007, eBay pays $79,000 to the city municipals for using generators and polluting the air. Of course, $79,000 is not a big deal. It's only a tiny portion of the revenue for eBay, but it gives us a signal that if you pollute the air by using excessive energy or whatever it means, you will be fined by the government or by the public. And later, and even later in 2011, this is pretty interesting. So Microsoft was charged $210,000 for not using enough energy. So this is pretty. Of course, the fine was eventually waived by the local power utility companies. But this case, in this particular case, the Microsoft initially planned to use a certain amount of energy from the power utility companies, but in the end, because of certain, maybe they have less workloads, so they didn't use up all the energy. So the power utility companies said, oh, I'm already prepared to give you this amount of energy, but you didn't use it, so I'm gonna give you a fine. But of course, after some negotiation, this fine was eventually waived. But this also gave us a signal that we have to carefully about our long-term energy usage, because first, we don't want to face the fine from the government. The second, we don't want to cause any bad things to the power utility company as well, because they are prepared to give us the power delivery. Well, these are pretty old news, and this is a really new news. So just a couple months ago, China announces that it's to impose carbon emission targets by 2016. In light of the increasingly serious air pollution problem in China. So all this news give us the message that there is a certain energy cap, or equivalently, a carbon emission cap. And whether you believe it or not, there will be some penalty for exceeding the cap. And in light of the increasingly seriously sustainability concerns, especially the air pollution problem, we expect that this type of energy cap will be more stricter in the future. So in order to satisfy the cap, what can we do? Of course, the data center, they need to decide their energy usage carefully to satisfy this long-term cap. And I call this process energy budgeting, because you need to carefully budget your energy usage over a long course, say half a year or one year or even several years. All right, so it may sound to some of you that the energy budgeting is pretty similar to power budgeting, but I would say these two things are fundamentally different. Now let me show you the difference. So power budgeting is a research direction that has been studied by many people. Because we know that the peak power is very costly to increase in data center, and hence it's often oversubscribed. To avoid to ensure the data center reliability, we have to make sure that our energy power usage will not go beyond this limit. And in this figure, it shows the just an illustration. It shows the real-time power usage for a data center. And the power budgeting process is that we need to make sure our real-time power usage will not go beyond this cap because the reliability issues. And energy budgeting is totally different from power budgeting. In energy budgeting, we need to make sure that this long-term energy usage is below a certain threshold. And mathematically, this power budgeting means this value will not be beyond this. But energy budgeting means the area, if you do an integration, the area of this part would not be greater than your certain target or your cap. All right, so this is the energy budgeting. So how we can do the energy budgeting? A very simple solution is we just use as little energy as possible to satisfy the quality of service. This seems to be a very intuitive solution. But a critical issue with this solution is what should be the long-term energy cap? Because you need to tell the because there's a certain cap that has to be determined before at the beginning of each year or budgeting period. And you need to tell the power utility company how much energy you're going to budget over this maybe 1 year or half a year. So, of course, we can do, just like in power over subscription, we can do the same thing here. We do the energy over subscription. But this is not good for the power utility companies because, as we already seen in 2011, Microsoft was in a similar situation. So this is not good for the power utility companies because they need to carefully budget their power generation as well. And this solution is not good, but what about another solution? Just assuming that we know everything about the future, we predict the yearly workloads or the workload demand, and then we decide how much energy we're going to use over this 1 year. But the problem with this solution is how can we accurately predict the future? In data center operation, we can predict the hour ahead or even day ahead workload pretty accurately. But we can't do this for the long-term workload. And especially if you have on-site renewable energy supplies, which is pretty intermittent, then that's not possible to predict the long-term renewable energy supply because of the weather conditions. And this is particularly true for fast-growing companies. And this figure shows the workload growth for Facebook a few years back. And it shows that it's pretty unpredictable because nobody knows what's going to be the workload in half a year or in several months or in 1 year. And so this prediction-based method doesn't really work for energy budgeting purposes. So in our research, we realized that using this long-term prediction is not possible in a practical scenario. So why not just give a rough estimate and then try to follow your target online? So what does this mean? It means that we just have a very rough estimate of the future of how much work energy we're going to use, and then when we operate our data centers online, we try to reach this target. So in an online fashion, without knowing the future. But the challenge is, so we only have short-term information, like how many workloads we have in the next hour, or maybe in the next day, and how much renewable energy we're going to have in the next half an hour or a couple of hours. But we do have a long-term energy capping constraint or energy budget constraint. So this conflict between the long-term constraint and short-term information is really the key challenge that we need to address for this problem. So in my research, I propose to track your energy usage by using a feedback mechanism, and hence later I'm going to show you that we can achieve the long-term energy capping constraint without incurring too much penalty. All right, so here are some you know, background information. I'm going to show you the technical part. So first, I will start with the model. We consider time-slotted model. You know, we divided the total energy budgeting period into equal length time slots. For example, if you consider a yearly budget, then we can decide each time slot might be just 1 hour. And at the beginning of each time slot, you can change your decisions, data center decision, like how many servers we need to turn on, how many servers to put into sleep states, or whatever. And we consider simple data center that has M homogeneous servers. But of course, in practice, the servers are heterogeneous because they are purchased from different vendors at different times. But this is but if you have heterogeneous servers, you just extend the model to a multi-dimension decision. That's pretty straightforward. And also the data center has some on-site renewable energy, which is intermittent and not reliable. And the decision that we care about here is the capacity provisioning decision. And in particular, how many servers we do need to turn on to at the beginning of each time slot. And to quantify the data center delay performance, we use the delay cost queuing delay model, which is the FIFO MMOQ model. I know that this model is not perfect, but it gives us a rough indication of how the data center performance will be like if we turn on a certain number of servers. And our objective, one of the objectives is to reduce the electricity bill. Of course, we want to reduce the number of servers by as many as we can. But the other objective is the quality of the service. So these two are somehow contradicting with each other. Because if you turn on more servers, you can serve the workloads as fast as you can and providing the users with a better quality of service. But at the same time, you're going to increase your electricity bill. So how to resolve the conflicts between these two issues? So in my research, I'm going to consider a total cost, which is a parameterized cost that incorporates both the delay, about both the electricity bill and also your delay performance. So the parameter beta is the weighting factor that shows how that balances the electricity bill and your delay performance. And we have a long-term energy capping constraint. And here is the energy consumption or electricity consumption at time t. The p is the power consumption of the data center, and rt is available renewable energy supplies, which is changing over the time and pretty unpredictable for the long term. So the objective is pretty clear. We want to reduce the cost, and at the same time, we also want to satisfy this long-term constraint. But as I mentioned earlier, because we only have short-term information, which can be estimated using the linear regression technique. But we do have a long-term constraint. And how we can solve this problem? We propose an online approach, meaning that we only need to utilize the short-term prediction, and then we do it online, and then hopefully we'll also satisfy the long-term constraint. So in particular, in this online resource management, we construct an energy queue, which is the foundation of this algorithm that gave us the feedback information. In this queue, the energy deficit queue is equal to the current queue plus the energy usage minus your budget, average budget. So the queue length indicates how much energy usage we have exceeded our allowed budget so far. So if you have a bigger queue, it means you are using too much energy compared to your allowed budget. And instead of minimizing the total cost directly, we put an additional term, your queue length times the energy consumption. And we scale the total cost by a parameter V, which is very important that controls the trade-off between your cost minimization and your energy consumption. Because as you can see from here, if you increase the value of V, you put more emphasis on reducing the cost and less emphasis on satisfying your energy budget. And as I said, if you have a bigger queue, then you put more emphasis on you give more weight to the energy consumption. So because you have using too much energy, so in the next time slot, you need to somehow decrease your energy consumption. And here, there's a larger weight, so we need to minimize that as well. So the insight is pretty clear and also intuitive. If you just use your energy to minimize your total cost, and if you use more than the allowed budget, then try to reduce it. So this is a pretty simple intuition. But how, you know, this is a, sounds like a heuristic algorithm, but how much we can say about this algorithm? Theoretically, we have two things. We can say two things about this algorithm. First is that compared to the optimal offline algorithm, where you assume that you know everything, which is the Oracle, the most powerful algorithm, even compared to that algorithm, we can show that the gap in terms of the total cost can be bounded. So we achieve a good cost compared to the optimal offline algorithm. The second thing is, we have a long-term energy capping constraint, and we can theoretically guarantee that you can approximately satisfy the energy capping constraint. But why there is only approximate satisfaction? Because we don't know the future, and we just give a rough estimate of your energy capping constraint. And what if your workload is so huge that your energy capping constraint cannot be satisfied? So in this case, we give a higher priority to satisfying the workloads. So of course, you exceed your energy capping constraint. But our algorithm will guarantee that violation of your energy capping constraint will not be so much. So this is why I say approximately satisfy your energy capping constraint. So I'm not showing you the mathematical details here, but you can refer to the paper. The proof is based on the recently developed Lyapunov optimization technique. And also we relax the IID and Markovian assumption to arbitrary dynamics. So basically your workloads can change arbitrarily. It may not follow IID or Markovian, which is not the case in practice. So this is some theoretical result, but what about empirically? Here, I'm going to show you a simple case study. The simulation settings are not shown here, but it basically shows that we consider a large data center which has a peak power of 50 megawatts, and we consider half a year energy budgeting, and we only utilize the short-term hour-ahead information, which is readily available in data centers. And the left figure shows the average energy cost, average total cost versus the control parameter V. The second figure shows the energy deficit. What we can see here is, given a certain control parameter V, we satisfy, the blue curve is our algorithm. The red dashed line is the capping anywhere. So it's just a greedy algorithm that doesn't consider your energy capping constraint. So of course, is the lower bound of any algorithm that satisfies the budget constraint, because it doesn't consider the constraint, so that's a lower bound. And we can see from here that with given a appropriate parameter V, we can satisfy the energy capping constraint, which means we have a zero budget deficit, and at the same time, the cost is pretty close to the lower bound. So we achieve a low cost while satisfying the budget. And how about compared to the existing prediction-based method? So here, we assume that you know the next day workloads perfectly, and then you try to allocate your budget and make your decisions. So compared to that algorithm, we have almost the same budget deficit, but we reduce the cost by nearly 10%, which is pretty impressive in a large-scale data center. And remember, we only require hour-ahead information without knowing the long-term future. But this prediction-based method, it requires more information. And how about we have different budget? So we normalize the budget from point A to 1, and we can see that even given 90% of the energy budget, we compared to the lower bound, we only the cost penalty is only less than 3%, so which is really a remarkable result. So basically, we only increasing the operational cost marginally, but reduce the energy consumption in the long term significantly, because we satisfy this energy capping, energy budget constraint. And if you can, if you have say only 90% of this budget, then you save 10% energy in the long term. And as at the same time, your cost increase or cost penalty is really marginal. All right, so the conclusion is we consider the long-term energy budgeting problem, and we propose an online, efficient online algorithm that can achieve a very low cost, even compared to the optimal offline algorithm. And at the same time, the algorithm, our solution can satisfy your predetermined energy budgeting constraint. All right, so I have talked too much, and if you can forget everything about what I said, but just remember one sentence. We can achieve this long-term sustainability by using energy budgeting. So this is the take-home message. All right, thanks. Any question? Sure.
Thanks for the talk. My question is, what information do you consider for like short-term information?
Uh-huh.
If you say that in long-term, Facebook, energy uses kind of grow exponentially, right?
What
factors that affected that? Do you consider those factors?
So in our algorithm, basically, we need to predict what will be the workload demand in the next hour. And if you have on-site renewable energy, we also need to consider that as well.
But what factors do you consider for predicting the next hour demand?
What factor? What can you be a little bit more specific? So,
like, why did the energy consumption went so high for Facebook? Why did it go so low for Microsoft? Those are the factors that are affecting the...
No, that actually we don't consider, because we don't need the long-term information or long-term trend. So those are just some empirical results that has shown for Facebook's data center. But in our problem, we just look at the next hour. Whatever the long-term future is, we don't care about that. But we can satisfy your budget constraint approximately. But if you do have, for example, you have this long-term energy capping constraint, and if you say you have a Facebook type traffic, and then in the end we are not able to accommodate your long term energy budget constraint because your predetermined budget is not accurate. But what we can do is we can approximately satisfy this budget by not deviating too much. So in our algorithm, basically we don't care about how your long term traffic is. We only look at your next hour, which is the online information that we need.
By using regression or something?
Yeah. Any machine learning technique can be used here.
This question is about your cost function.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like you currently only consider the processor energy consumption, not the memory, not the I/O.
Actually, we consider CPU energy as well as the static power. So the static power incorporates the memory, the hard disk, but I agree with you that if you have more workloads, your memory energy is also increasing a little bit, but compared to the CPU power, that part can be somehow ignored.
It also depends on the kind of tasks, right?
Exactly. So if you consider memory data-intensive workloads, so the CPU energy may not be a concern. The memory is maybe the bottleneck, but in our algorithm, we look at the first order effects, and we look at the data center level energy, the capacity provisioning decision. We don't look at the detail like CPU scaling and those things. But those can be handled using separate techniques.
Okay. The related question is, mm-hmm. Your model assumes that every job can be classified into a certain type of job.
Right.
So do you think in practice we can do that?
Well, it's just like, high priority, low priority. It's very rough classification. It doesn't need to be very accurate to say this job is for certain user. No, it's not that case. Just like very rough estimate, because we want to define different weights for the cost delay performance for those type of jobs. And our delay cost function only characterizes the high level delay data center performance. It doesn't consider the deadline or those details quality of service.
So the model that you use, the MM1 model, is like per application or per server or for the whole database?
In fact, it can be for the whole data center, but in our research, we consider for each server. So
each physical server.
Yes, because in our problem, we just we equally distributed the workload among these homogeneous servers. So if you consider the whole data center delay performance, that will be the same as considered for each server, because you know it just we consider homogeneous server. But if you consider heterogeneous servers, I agree with that. That will be different.
And also for each server, you assume that one application.
One type of workloads. It's a very generic term, workloads. So it can be data intensive, can be CPU intensive, but here we don't look at those low level performance. Here we just look at very high level for the data center, you know, the total power instead of each individual component.
Because I just guess when you have two applications running on the same server, mm-hmm. in that case it's this kind of server rate.
Yes, I agree. I got your point. So, as I said, we only consider this overall delay performance. So, say, if your delay data center is on average, it's going to provide a satisfactory performance or not. So, if you have multiple applications, multiple tenants, like different tenants have their VMs, then you need separate technique to handle those with each per server scheduling or even CPU level scheduling. Those have to be done by the other techniques. Our algorithm doesn't consider that. But it would be a good point to extend it into a lower level.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The cost in general of running a data center, I mean, as I understand it, you throttle data center effectively when you want to increase the power usage. I'm correct there, right? You throttle the servers in the data center.
Sorry? I didn't...
You're throttling the servers in the data center. Do not use as much power.
Right.
So the thing is that the cost of running the servers is, in general, so high that the cost of throttling them is quite high because you're wasting the servers that you have already paid for,
mm-hmm.
right? So generally, one tends to want to plan more just to make sure that that you have enough energy so that you don't have to throttle. So I wonder if you could consider just predictive mechanisms, because I mean, generally, one tends to have a track of what was the previous usage and historical usage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if one could use predictive techniques to just predict how much energy you will need, taking into account maybe diurnal and weekly and annual variations, and including growth.
Right. So first, I agree with you that if you have more information that is incorporated in our algorithm, we can improve this hour ahead based short term online algorithm. But in my research, I have shown that given 90% of the energy budget, the cost compared to the optimal offline algorithm is even compared to the lower bound, it's only less than 3%. So let's say if you have day ahead, the space for your improvement is at most 3%. So if you have more information, more prediction, that will help you a little bit, but not too much. That's my point of view so far. But I agree that if you have more information, then of course you're going to outperform this online solution a little bit, but may not be that much, or may not be worth the efforts to do that. Right.
You mentioned that you servers as queues, right?
Right.
So you model the interconnection of the servers. So if I'm understanding, you're modeling everything as a queue network?
Well, here we only use a very simple queuing model, which is not a queuing network. It's, you know, each server, they have their own queue.
Okay.
But it's not a really complicated queuing network which have different tiers. That would be a little bit too complicated for this type of research.
Actually, I was wondering if that's the case, would it completely where you using to simulate that Q network better.
Right, so that can be. But if we refine the delay cost model, then we can make better decisions. But still, I would say this, the framework still applies, but we just need to tweak the model to incorporate more details. But here, it's just very overall, it's a simple model, but it's somehow effective in a certain sense.
Okay, and it is Markovian and stuff, it's very M1 kind of
Right, it's not accurate. M1, as Professor said, M11Q is not accurate because it's like a feed-forward model. You need some additional feedback mechanism to refine your queuing model.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.